I got the Monday morning crew, so you guys are gonna have to please stay awake. I could just please stay awake. I have learned a few things. This has been a really good class, a really good camp, hasn't it? Hey, man, this has been a great camp. Like I said, don't fall asleep on me. I've learned a lot of this camp. There's been a lot of really good messages. And one of the things that I have learned is that some people have peculiar ways of staying awake. So if you are a little sleepy, sorry, I'm not going to be singing any sad love songs for you, Sue. But, you know, I have learned there's an alternative to that, and it's biting your finger. So I don't know if that's any better or not. But if I look out and you guys are looking like you're sucking your thumbs or something, I'll just assume I'm putting you to sleep. So sorry about that. But let's turn on over to Proverbs chapter 23. This morning, I went back and forth about what I want to talk about. And not this morning. I wasn't debating what I'm going to talk about this morning. Just clarifying, okay? But I went back and forth what I want to talk about coming up to this weekend. And then I finally decided on what I want to talk about a little bit ago before camp. And then Steve Doty comes up, and man, he's just dancing all over my message. Just totally. And hopefully you guys don't get bored hearing the same thing twice, but he really did. He hit all the major points that I wanted to hit. So what I hope I can do is really just present it from a different perspective and hopefully give you guys, you know, somebody else from a different life perspective. I have much different experience in my life than Steve Doty does. Like I said, we're going to have a baby soon, and that has its own challenges, but man, the stories he was bringing up about the people in Kosovo and people around the world that have struggles with their children and the muscular dystrophy, and man, that was real stuff, wasn't it? And where I want to go this morning is along the same lines that, hey, guess what? Life is real, and it can be real hard. And sometimes you run into these scenarios and you don't really understand why you're having to go through what you're going through. Maybe this isn't really resonating with you because you're not really struggling in your life too much. I doubt that's the case. But there's real challenges, guys, and in the church. There are real challenges that people go through. And oftentimes they say you don't really know the half of what somebody's going through just because you haven't had a conversation with them about their life. I asked for the permission, but as many of you know, my dad, he got diagnosed with cancer earlier this year. And that's a battle many people undergo. And you really don't, you know, you have all the prayer requests, right? You see all the prayer requests on the bulletins, and you pray for them. But it doesn't really resonate with you until you're actually going through the challenge maybe yourself. And a lot of people have different challenges. We all have different things. You know, to one person, it might be divorce. That's hard. And for one person, it might be cancer. For some people, that might not be as quite as scary as maybe the thought of their children being lost. Or maybe this one. Maybe it's sometimes I think I contemplate what would be terrifying at times, and maybe I shouldn't dwell there, but I think about my young child coming into this world, and I think about raising them, and then they deny God, and they deny Christ. Man, that would cut deep. I don't care what my kids do. I don't care if they are a janitor, or they work at McDonald's, or they are a CEO of a company. It doesn't matter. What matters is that they are focused on Jesus Christ. And to know that we struggle and we look at people in their lives and they turn their back on God, man, there's just different struggles. And so we can't take lightly, you know, that, oh, somebody's going through something that maybe is not a struggle for me. But each person has what they need. God is allowing for us to go through these trials and tribulations in our lives. And what does James chapter 2 say? Well, consider it all joy. How am I supposed to consider this joy, God? And unfortunately, I was Philippians 4. I kind of was repeating that in my mind over and over again. It talks about why everything with prayer, supplication, you know, let your request be made known to God, right? We know the prayer supplication part. If we have challenges in our lives, what are we supposed to do? Oh, pray. Oh, ask God, and He's going to supply us what we need. But you know what I kind of was thinking about recently that I forgot? It says, there's a key two words in there. It says, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Now, again, going back to James chapter 2, considering all, you know, all these things, all these trials in our lives with all joy, how are we supposed to have an attitude of thanksgiving when we're getting kicked in the face by life? Man, you are sitting there and people are literally in tears on their beds at times, at night, when nobody sees it. And they're supposed to, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let the request be made known to God. You know what happens? The peace of God is there. And I'm telling you, Christ presents a peace that nobody else can give in this life, undoubtedly. Amen? I don't know about you guys, but I want peace. Maybe not peace in the world, but maybe not peace with men. Is that, if anything, I've definitely noticed it's not peace with men. But peace with God. The kind that you can sleep well knowing that you're on the right side of eternity. And there's also the body that God has supplied. Look around. That's encouraging. So, Proverbs chapter 23. I just want to start here because it's one of my favorite verses. And it's pertaining to the new creation. But Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that I get to come up and to preach your word, that I get to encourage the saints here in Bozeman. I just pray so much that the message is edifying, that it's encouraging, and that we can all glean something from your word ultimately. And I also just pray we have a great rest of the day, and all those who are traveling will be safe, and you'll be with us in our travels. In your son's name I pray, amen. Okay, so the title of my message, if I have to title it something, it's going to be, I had this one prepared a little while ago, and the people in Billings know this because I've said this several times. Man, when you start preaching about something, it just starts happening to you. I don't know how to explain it. It's like I started, you know, going through James, and then I started, I said, hey, man, I want to endure in some suffering. I want to go through the ringer a little bit. So I actually started running a lot, and then I went and did a marathon. And that was my way of trying to, you know, get some suffering in my life some more. And the marathon was fun. That was a lot of suffering. And man, Nikki, running a 100-mile race, that's crazy. 100 miles? How do you do that? That's impressive. But, you know, that's what I thought. I was like, man, I want to just start doing some running, start learning the perseverance, building character, building endurance. And we did do that. Actually, Drew did that with me as well. And he went along on the road. He got to run a marathon as well. That was a lot of fun. But then that's when the next year came. I had this message prepared a while back, and I was going to preach it in our assembly, but then I wasn't able to, and so I put it aside. I was like, hey, I'm going to use that for a family camp. And the suffering part of running a race is nothing like understanding some of the more difficult parts of life, as you guys have understood. For a while this year, actually, I was not feeling well. I don't know if it was just stress or what it was. I was laid in bed for a little while, actually. It was very challenging mentally, especially for somebody like me. I'm a goer. I'm a doer. I just like doing things and going. And so to be laid up in bed for a little while, that was challenging. It's not easy. And I can't imagine what my dad is having to go through. He had a big surgery in his neck. The cancer is in his neck. Luckily, they got a lot of it out. There's still some microscopic stuff, but he actually had to go back in this past week, spent all night in a hospital, all day in a recovery bed, and we went out to visit him on Friday because the infection set in his neck, and it got really irritated. It was very painful, he was telling me. And he actually had these huge tubes in his neck when he got his first surgery. It's not very comfortable. I can't imagine it being very comfortable. But, you know, one of the things that he was telling me, and I guess I should clarify, he's doing very well now. Yesterday I was talking to him, he's doing a lot better. The doctor said he heals like Wolverine. So he's doing a lot better. But one of the things my dad told me is he said, you know, there's a lot of things about sports, and I just mentioned running. He said, sports are really good, right? And this is where I'm just going to throw a disclaimer out there. I'm not saying don't do sports. Sports are really good, and they teach a lot of lessons, and they can teach perseverance and endurance. And they really do help develop people when they're young. But I didn't do a lot of sports, and I think I turned out okay. So they're not necessary. What they are is they are a tool, and they're a tool that can be used. But one of the things my dad was saying leading up to all this, you know, commotion of the surgery, and it was a long story. I'm not going to bore you guys with all the details. The medical system is interesting, how long it takes for them to do anything, and that in alone is just a challenge mentally. But what my dad told me is he said, sports don't always really give you the full picture, because you can always check out. He's like, actually, you chose to check in and be there in the first place. And he said, you know, what I'm going through right now, I didn't ask to be here. And he can't check out. You can't just leave. Although I will say some people have tried. I think about that with the sports, and yeah, a lot of people, sometimes they do. I mean, there's a Remember the Titans, there's a guy who's leaving in the middle of the game. You know, people try to do that with their lives too. And that's challenging. Maybe you've been impacted by that. Listen, life is not easy, and we were not promised that it would become easier. What we are promised is peace in Christ Jesus. So what I want to talk about, the two things that I want to talk about are called giants and foxes. And those are going to be the challenges that attack us in our life. We obviously understand we are at war. Sorry if the message is a little too militant. We are at war. Amen? So you got to get up, you got to be diligent, and you got to be ready to fight. Because if you're not ready, if there's something I have learned about sports, when you're the guy who's not the aggressor and you're the guy who's getting attacked, you get demolished. And we don't want to be just some guy that just got ran over by the world and by Satan, by sin. I don't want to be like that. How about you? So we got to be strong. And what we're going to actually develop is our faith picture. So the giants and foxes. I'll just briefly tell you what I'm going to turn to. We're going to turn to 1 Samuel 17. But the giants, one of my favorite stories, which I think is really going to be pertinent to what I want to talk about this morning, is the story of David and Goliath. What a better story of a giant, right? And that's what I was kind of mentioning with my dad and different challenges that we encounter in our lives. Well, those things are giants. The giants are the easy things to locate. They're the things that are just standing right in front of your face. It's like, well, I lost my job. That seems like a giant, right? Well, I lost my child. I know a few people personally that have lost their 2-year-old children. That's not easy. I can't imagine that would be very easy. That would seem like a tremendous burden in our lives. Then there's also people that are actually, more people in our congregation recently, a couple brothers lost their dads. Matter of fact, one of them wasn't even anticipated. It just happened. At youth camp this year, I brought up that I was playing football with a guy who was 14. He just died. It was the only year I played football. But a 14-year-old just died. How do we explain those things? Those are not easy, and I guarantee you, his parents, they were not very, people often, you see their faith picture, if you will. You see what they really believe in when they're put under pressure. Those are giants. Those are not easy things to handle. But then there's the other side I want to talk about as we close, and that's the foxes. That's the little things. Those are the things that are, we can oftentimes maybe lose track of, or maybe we don't realize that these little foxes are actually destroying our lives. And we're going to turn there in Song of Solomon in a little bit. We understand the principle that, well, God works through the little things. And sometimes that can either be a good thing or a bad thing, right? You can either make the little choices that are right, and that will be multiplied for good. Or you can make little choices that are bad, that will be multiplied for bad. But we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's jump on over there. 1 Samuel 17. A lot of you are probably familiar with this story. Verses 1 through 11. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Socah and Azekah and Ephes-Demim. Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array to encounter the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on the other side, on one side, while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with the valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines, named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he's clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. That's roughly equivalent, from the math that I've done, about 125 pounds, maybe. He had bronze greaves on his legs and a bronze javelin slung between his shoulders. The shaft of the spear was like weaver's beam, and the head of the spear weighed 600 shekels of iron, roughly approximately 15 pounds. His shield carrier also walked before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not the Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall become our servants and serve us." Again, the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. This is a really cool story. I really, really like it a lot. It's a little kid story, so please don't get bored and think this is beneath us. But, you know, it's just interesting. You go back and you look at the storyline. Saul and all of his men are supposed to be the people who are leading God's people. And they are the ones that are supposed to be fighting God's fights. And what are they doing? Well, they're shaking in their boots. They're terrified. Matter of fact, they're so terrified that verse 16 says, the Philistine, Goliath, he came forward morning and evening for 3 hours. Oh man, that tribulation or that trial was only 3 days. No. That's not what it says, is it? How long was Goliath taunting them? Morning and evening for 40 days. 40 days! That sounds like a long time. Now, I can't imagine it'd be any easier to stand up to Goliath on day 40 than it would be day 1. How about you? There's a little story that I like thinking about in my mind sometimes. It's about cliff jumping. So last year, a bunch of the boys and I in the congregation, we went out with Mikkel and Nolan and on their boat. And there's this cliff that we got to at one point, Yellowtail Dam. And you guys remember that? Yeah, and we start, a bunch of people are jumping off of that. And, you know, there's different mindsets when you approach something like that. When I'm looking at this thing, it didn't look very tall, but I was like, okay, it's probably going to be a little scary. Knowing me, I wasn't naturally a heights guy. I'd never really liked heights growing up a ton. As I worked in construction, I developed the ability to deal with it, being on tall lifts all the time and different things. But, yeah, we came up to this cliff, and there's different ways you can approach it. Well, I know it's going to be tough. So what my approach and my mentality was just to go straight up this cliff and then jump. I was like, I'm just going to jump straight into the water, and I'm not even going to hesitate. And so what I did is I got up there, and I made sure, please don't misunderstand me. We're coming out of water climbing on a rock, so I'm not just going to slip and just run off. I was making sure I was being safe, but I come up here, and I'm like, oh, you going to jump? No. You going to jump? No. Okay. I just jumped. Now, that kind of backfired a little bit because I did get spanked bad. I didn't think too much about the exact way that was going to land, so it did backfire a tad. But I made it down in a relatively short manner. It was very quick. That was my mentality. Like I said, just get it over with. I'll go to the doctor, just do it. It's going to hurt no matter what. So then the other mentality, I'm not going to name names, okay? But you know who you are. Some other people went up there. And this is not bad, okay? This is just a different tactic, okay? These are just different ways to do this. I showed you mine backfired. I got spanked really bad. Okay, some people, they had the mentality where they would go up there and they would just see if they stood up there long enough, the cliff would shrink or the water would rise. I'm poking fun a little bit, but they were up there for a little bit of time, and we were like, hey, man, come on, guys. Some people, I think, might have done it three times or so in the span that these people did it once. Again, not that that's wrong. I just thought it was interesting. There's different mindsets. I knew it was going to be scary. I'm not going to say I just was brave. I just was just crazy. I just jumped. But, after a while, they ended up jumping. It was okay. Everybody's happy. But I started to think about that. Do you think it was any easier after being up there for a few minutes than it would be if I just went up there and just jumped? No. It doesn't really get any easier. As a matter of fact, I think it might get harder because now you've developed this false narrative in your mind that I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. Oh, no. And then what happens is that fear starts to set in. Well, isn't it how life kind of approaches us? Maybe we want to avoid things. There's a tendency maybe to procrastinate, to not deal with things. Well, guess what? It doesn't get any easier. It just gets harder. And the repercussions of that, you don't really know in the moment. But that's kind of what was happening here with Saul and the boys, is that they were so scared. They weren't going out there. And guess what? I don't know if 40 days would have been enough. They could have been out there for a lot longer. And their lack of faith was so great. You know, if somebody did leave the army of Israel to go fight Goliath, they probably would have lost if they didn't have the faith. If they just said, hey, you know what? You look like a good guy for Israel, which is essentially kind of what they did with David. They just shoved somebody out there who didn't have the faith. He would have got slaughtered by Goliath. Goliath was a big guy. He was like 8 or 9, maybe 10 feet. We were in Arizona last year, and we went through this certain area. I don't remember exactly where it was, but they had a life-size statue of a guy who was 8 feet tall. It's huge. Your average living room ceiling, if it's just average, not tall, is about 8 feet tall. So imagine a person that's that tall. When you put that in the person form, that's a big person. Now imagine somebody who's really muscular, very fit, a warrior since their youth, and they're like 9 or 10 feet tall. Man, that would be challenging. And guess what? It's the obvious elephant in the room. It's the obvious giant that is at hand. But I want you to contemplate and to think, how did David destroy Goliath? He defeated him with what? The superior weapon. His faith. Faith is the superior weapon. It wasn't the rocks, you know. Although, I'll kind of talk about that in a second. Let's keep reading, actually, in this 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's go to verse 20. David arose early in the morning and left the flock with a keeper and took the supplies and went as Jesse had commanded him. So David's obviously not in the battle. He's going out to it. His dad sent him to his brothers, and he came to the circle of the camp while the army was going out in battle array, shouting the war cry. These guys are shouting the war cry, but they're not going to do anything about it. That's kind of ironic, huh? Which also, side note, guys, are we the army of God on this earth? Yeah. So if you're not doing something, guess what? The job ain't getting done. Obviously, we know God's going to have his will fulfilled, and he will raise up people who will do the job. But kind of goes back to, do you want to be a part of it or not? I don't want to be like Israel there, where they're sitting around for 40 days, wondering where this guy is going to come out of nowhere. I don't want to be like that. Do you? Do you want your lampstand jerked out? We got to remember that these giants, these things that attack us in our lives, and it gets a lot bigger than just maybe cancer. It could be real persecution, hardcore persecution, right? We got to be strong. We got to be keeping our eyes on what is eternal rather than the physical. That's where I was kind of saying Steve Doty danced all over my message, mentioning 2 Corinthians 4 and Romans 8, talking about some of those different things. But let's go to 1 Samuel 17, verse 21. It's 22. David left his baggage in the carriage of the baggage keeper and ran to the battle line and entered in order to greet his brothers. As he's talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines, and he spoke the same words, and David heard them. When all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. Huh. The men of Israel said, have you seen this man who is coming up? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. It will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? If you got a giant in your life, don't back down. Is Satan going to throw things at you to get you distracted? Try to get you off beat? Absolutely. David didn't want any of that. He said, I see this how it is. And this guy is standing up against God and the armies that he has. Uh-uh. That's not going to happen today. And so he handles it. Verse 31. Well, you guys... Yeah, let's just read 31 through 37 real quick. When the words which David spoke were heard, they were told them to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Saul said to David, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him. You are a youth, but he has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from its mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Man, that fires me up. This guy is young, too. Side note, if you're young, don't let that hold you back from doing great things for God. Press on. Set the example. You know, I really appreciate a lot of the people who are older and they've gone forth in the battle. And we need you guys to keep going. With my dad, you know, thinking about my dad, he's a great spiritual man. And I love seeing him go through a challenge like this and then still come out on the other side spiritually on fire and having the right mindset. It's not easy, but I know he's got his mind on the right things. And that's what's encouraging to me. We need to see that. But then there's also this other aspect. Hey, the youngins, you guys can also spur on those who are maybe a little bit older. And you can keep that momentum going and the fire going. And so they can remember why they committed to what they had committed to long ago. The new birth, the new creation. The giants are difficult. But how did David really prepare to face Goliath? What was David doing? You know, when he was shepherding, was he just sitting around, you know, he was playing on his Rubik's Cube? He's out there in the fields and he's just, oh man, he's just falling asleep all the time. I'm sure he was taking naps occasionally. No, what he did is he was actually building the right things all along the way. You don't just automatically go to level 10 and just defeat the big boss. What was he doing? Oh, he was practicing tending for sheep as a shepherd, as he's going to shepherd Israel eventually, by killing the lion and the bear. And you know what he accredits all that to? God. Well, it sounds like he was doing what? The little things right. So this is where I want to kind of make a transition. I want you to turn it over in your Bibles, which you probably had anticipated this. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, let's go straight to verse 15. That is a love letter. And so I'm just going to take a verse out of the middle of it, if you will. Not always a good thing, but catch the foxes for us. The little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom. Now, there's different ways that we could approach this. This is a love letter. Somebody is writing to their lover. And then they get to a point to where they say, hey, catch the foxes for us. The foxes that ruin the vineyards. Well, if we're thinking about it from a relationship perspective, let's say you want to have a good relationship with your spouse. Are you taking care of the little things? Catch the foxes. Whoa, the foxes, they're running through the vineyard. Oh, they're not a big deal. We just talk about the giants, right? Oh, the giants are the obvious ones, the ones we can just point to immediately. But what are the things that oftentimes maybe we just overlook? It's the little foxes and the little, actually rabbits. I know my parents, they have a garden, and the rabbits, man, those things just will destroy a plant overnight. What are they doing? And we obviously, we could say, yeah, definitely, if there's a bear running through there, catch that guy and get him out of there. But sometimes I think there's a tendency maybe to just let the little things slide a little too much. Ah, you know, that's just a fox. What was that? Oh, that's just a fox. And they kind of chew up stuff occasionally. They're just hard to keep track of and on top of. It's hard to really catch them, too, to be honest. Well, you know what happens with one fox? One fox turns into 20 foxes. And what happens with 20 foxes? They turn into 100 foxes. And what happens then? Well, by then, you're out of business. You can't keep up. You can't keep track of that many foxes. It's like the rabbit shooter's guide, going through that recently. Sometimes you're studying with people and there are so many different rabbits. It's just, I don't know what to take care of. I don't really know how to handle this. So, you know, sometimes I think people can fool themselves. And they say, well, maybe I'm not facing a giant right now. But I do want to encourage us, pay attention to the little things, though. You know, somebody doesn't wake up someday and they say, man, I'm going to go kill somebody drunk driving. You don't just wake up and say it. Normal people shouldn't. What happens is, well, what happened was is you started down this path where you started drinking a little bit. Oh, you know. And you started becoming more and more aggressive with this bad habit. You know, you start going out and you start doing different things, things that you would never have done. Years go by, you're at a place where you're not drinking and driving. And you're at the wrong place, the wrong time. And you are now waking up in an ambulance and somebody's life was lost. Nobody sets out to do those things. But what happens? Well, maybe you got to pay attention to the little things along the way. And ultimately, you guys, with the Holy Spirit indwelt and keeping your mind on the right things and having an attitude of faith, yeah, you guys are going to be great. That's what we are to do, to keep continuing to encourage, stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Amen? But sometimes I just don't want us to fool ourselves. There's so many times I think about Galatians. I think about all of these other verses. Galatians 5 does talk about all the deeds of the flesh. You know who he's talking to? He's not talking to a guy that has never heard about Christ. He's talking to Christians. And he says, hey, those who live like this, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. He's talking to Christians. Then we go on to chapter 6, and you guys know, you're familiar with it. It says, there is a law. It says that the sower, when he sows, he's going to reap what he sows. There's another example that I want to talk about really briefly, and that was an example of Kobe Bryant. Now, how you feel about him, I don't know. It's not a big deal, but I just liked one thing that he said. I liked a lot of things he said, but I like this particular thing. I think it's pertinent to what we're going to talk about this morning. Kobe, he was arguably one of the most driven, hardworking people. Kobe Bryant, basketball player. And he worked harder than so many other people. But he got to this point where he was in an interview. And these people asked him, how are you so good? You know, how are you so much further ahead? You know, he comes back. And he's talking about even his high school days. And he is just demolishing these other people. And they're like, dude, last year you were nobody. How are you so good now? And what he said is he said, well, you know the guy who has the summer break, if you will, they just take off the whole summer. And then they come back and they're doing extra work. They could be working 5 hours a day in the on season. He's like, but it doesn't matter. Because you know what? Even if I just did... Essentially, I'm paraphrasing. Even if I just did 1 hour a day the whole summer, the accumulation of work that I've put in is greater than anything that they could make up. So essentially, just the little things that he did day in and day out over the span of years. I mean, you think about it. What if you just did 1 hour, you did something for 1 hour a day? Oh, yeah, stray dog, but the foxes are running through. If you did something for 1 hour a day for a year, you have 365 hours under your belt. You could probably take a week off, right? Then the season comes around, and then you already have so much exposure and so many reps. You know, it's muscle memory. You know what you're doing. And this is obviously going to be applying spiritually. And then you get somebody who comes in, they never put in the time, they never put in the effort. And then they're like, oh, I need to catch up with this other guy, so-and-so. So I'm going to spend 8 hours a day. It's going to be my full-time job. Well, even if you did that for a month, you'd be playing catch-up. That's the thing is, the little things we do, they do matter. And if you really want to impact, we have to have the long-term vision. We have to have the eternal vision. Amen? You guys want to have the eternal vision? You guys want to see yourself in heaven for eternity? And you want your children in eternity? And you want a good marriage? And you want a strong family? What are you going to do? Well, you're going to do the little things right. And so there's this thing I've been telling myself recently. It's just make the next right choice. That's what I've been telling myself a lot recently. You're in a position where you don't know what you should do. I don't know if I should go left or right or whatever. What you should do is obviously pray about it. Have the right mentality, but make the next right decision in faith. And what happens is you start developing those good habits. Well, before you know it, you're miles ahead. And people are wondering, man, how is your faith so great? Well, I just read my Bible every day. I made it to the assemblies. Not that we're trying to go back to works or law, but hey, I put in the work. I had real conversations about where I'm at spiritually. I was honest with myself. I was patient. I did serve. Those things will ultimately carry us on into eternity. Let's just go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to close up here. Romans chapter 8. We read verses 35 through 39. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? A lot of people obviously take this whole context out of, this whole verse out of context. But listen, none of those things can take you out of God's hand. It doesn't matter if they kill you. Don't be afraid of those who destroy your body. It doesn't matter. Go ahead. Send me to heaven. Hey, I get the shortcut. But if not, to live is Christ. Verse 36, just as it's written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is that encouraging or what? Whatever you're going through, maybe you haven't thought about the little things. Maybe you're not really going through a big giant in your life. But my encouragement is to remember that nothing can get in between you and God. What is always the limiting factor? It's self and our faith. And when we approach God with faith, what does He do? He is the God who multiplies. He takes that faith and it grows. And we can do amazing, encouraging things for God.